In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And yes, you are actually hearing me, and you're hearing Mike. You're not seeing a video of Mike playing around with his coffee cup or me with really crappy lighting. You are actually hearing us do a podcast because we are finally doing a podcast again.
A real one.
Finally, Mike has figured out the way around the possible problems of the new platform we were using. Instead of taking the recording of the actual platform, which is what we were trying to do to get a better sound quality, he's direct recording from the platform. So he controls the sound quality. He controls whether the recording works properly.
Yep.
Basically doing the same thing he did before, but in a better program where you can hear me a little bit better, I guess hear him a little better. And it's a way to make it work, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I learned not to trust Craig.
Yes.
Damn it. We fired Craig.
Kind of. I mean, he's there kind of as backup, but
yeah.
If you don't understand what we're talking about, then you haven't been doing enough things on the computer probably at this point.
No.
Although I've heard that the program that we're using, or the thing that we're using, the platform, whatever it's called, whatever the nomenclature is actually fairly popular in a couple of different communities as a way to communicate, especially since other social media platforms have been having issues. I know that obviously there's been the certain sect of society that is having trouble with Facebook and Twitter as a social platform because of some of the things they like to talk about. I moved over to a different social platform called Parler, which got shut down for various reasons because of the things people like to talk about. And then those people have been trying to take over other social media platforms, which has caused the normal users of those platforms to use this one as a way to communicate back and forth, and again try to use others, because that group of people just feels the need to invade whatever they feel they can and talk about the things that they want to talk about.
I'll speak out in support of the platform that we're talking about. I have a very extremely small presence here, but I will tell you that the inclusivity that my wife and I have to share with other people here with us, we do our gaming stuff with a lot of people here. The environment is so positive and it's so nice. And you have the capability of starting chats and moderate and being able to self-mod or get mod moderators and all that. It's very similar to IRC chat. It works very similarly. But
well,
it's such a positive place to be. It feels so positive, the places that you go. And you can go and talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. But the difference is that you don't get to – you don't have to scream something into the abyss and then hope somebody reacts. You're going somewhere to talk about a specific thing, and so you know the environment you're going into. It's kind of the way chat rooms work, you know?
That's good. That's good.
Very supportive. Yeah,
I was speaking to another friend over the weekend that is part of a very specific kind of group of people. I don't want to necessarily say too much to out the group or to give any information about the person, but he's part that, you know, it's a very specific group of people that this friend's a part of. And they have one specific platform that they use. 90% of the people on this platform are part of this group. And this platform has been kind of invaded recently by the former Parler users as their platform of choice, and they're kind of edging this other group off. And it's a group that's been around for a long time. It's a group that has been much maligned in society and in popular culture. In fact, every time they've been represented on any kind of TV show or movie, like many things, they take the fringe groups of this the fringe pieces of this large social group and play up to all the various stereotypes of the fringes,
as opposed to
understanding that these are just real normal people that just have their own groups that they want to be a part of, their own things that they identify with,
right?
And you know, every group has their fringe people. I mean, you know, rock music has Nickelback fans, the fringe people, the ones you don't want to talk about and understand. That 90s rock music have the Creed fans. Interestingly, they ended up becoming the Nickelback fans. But those are the groups you don't want to talk about. You know, those don't represent me. They really don't.
No.
So yeah, this is it's funny how all these changes have happened, especially since we've last been able to have the podcast on. How many things have just changed and look different. I will say it is nice to be able to look at Twitter now and not have some of the craziness that was on Twitter.
Dear Lord, Twitter feels like a paradise now.
And it's also been nice to see kind of some things being a little bit more. Some things being a little more sane, and then the funny thing about that is the things that are more sane just point out the crazy things even more.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. This is only the second podcast we've been able to have for this year. Yes, we're still smack dab in the middle of a pandemic, although shots are getting out to people. People are doing fairly well with the shots. I love it when you have those few people, those fringe people that want to point out, yeah, but people have died from getting the vaccinations. Well, people die from any vaccinations because,
well, I mean,
each individual body does react differently. But if you really look at the numbers and see that like three or four people may have died, but like millions of people have actually gotten the vaccinations already. Those are really, really small numbers and way smaller in comparison to the people that have been sick and died from the disease itself.
Well, okay. Speaking of that, I have not seen any information that confirms that people have died at all from the vaccinations. I've heard of stories that link people that have died after taking them. But one of them, there was one actually out in the county I live in Placer County. And the guy was in his 60s, but he was living in a home and he had already gotten the actual virus and then was distributed the vaccine after he had gotten a bout of the virus.
So that could have had an adverse effect as a result.
That's very possible. He also had a multitude of health issues. So
the comorbidities involved could also be involved with that. But still,
yeah.
Point being, the vaccinations are looking to be safe. People are getting them
exactly,
and we have at least some light at the end of the tunnel. It looks like. Maybe sometime in 2021, we might start to be able to get things somewhat back to normal. I mean, there's a might and a somewhat in there because I don't want to make any predictions on any of that.
Right.
But, you know, it looks like there's at least something looking good for that.
Yeah.
I can say in my experience, the schools have been able to do a little bit better with their online program now that they have a little more experience with it.
Yeah.
Now that they're understanding some of it more, you're seeing, at least I'm seeing an uptick in the program. They're finding out things that don't work, finding out things that do and keeping the things that do going and building on them. So that's good. But overall, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, and it's been a little difficult not to be able to talk about it because I know we've had one of the things we like to talk about often is celebrities that have sadly left us, and there's been a few that we haven't been able to talk about. I wanted to bring a few of those up today.
Yeah,
some that are I don't know, interesting. Some that are like, okay, I kind of expected that to happen, but. Just there's a few in there that we missed. The biggest one, I would say, the one that's probably been the most influential to me would be Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
Brilliant actress. Probably most famously known by anybody listening to this. They probably know her most from Young Frankenstein. Amazing role in that. A lot of her role, of course, improvised because she was a great improv actor. But also remembered for a lot of roles that she did even late into her life. She was brought on to play, you know, grandmothers and strange aunts. She was on a TV show, Raising Hope, for the 5-6 seasons that it was on. She was the grandmother in that show. Fantastic. Really weird, offbeat comedy. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
And she was the grandmother in that. Just amazing in that.
The one thing I remember is I can't remember. This was a roast. she was on one of the celebrity roasts, and I think it was Charlie Sheen, or it was either Charlie Sheen or Flavor Flav. It definitely wasn't Donald Trump's, but they had.
It might have been Flavor Flav's. I don't think she was on Charlie Sheen's.
Okay, I think it was her and Bea Arthur were both on this one. And
Was it Cloris Leachman?
Yes, it was Cloris Leachman. Have you seen her on the roast?
With Bea Arthur?
Well, Bea Arthur was on one of the other ones. But I think...
You'd pair Bea Arthur with like Betty White, not Cloris Leachman, but...
Betty White, I don't think, has ever done a roast, because I've never seen her say anything particularly foul. But when I saw Cloris Leachman talk about her bit was ravenous, absolutely savage.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I do want to point out there was a time not too long ago, it was within the last 10, 15 years, that Betty White was the host for SNL. And you know the old Alec Baldwin sweaty balls bit?
Yes.
The NPR sweaty balls bit?
Yes.
Betty White did a bit that was some kind of muffins that she was talking about on an NPR thing, and talking about how dry and stale her muffin
was. Oh my God.
Yes, it was just about her muffin.
It. I'm finding that just to see if I could. That's brilliant.
That was so yes, there's been some dirty jokes coming out of
that's fantastic. Betty White's mouth.
Because I guarantee you, she knew exactly what she was talking about when she was doing that bit.
Oh, my God.
I guarantee you.
Okay, so Cloris Leachman. Going back to Cloris Leachman, here's the catch of this was just so nuts. She said something that alluded to the fact that in order to break into show business, she's had to do donkey shows. She had to do donkey shows in Mexico before she got discovered to make a buck. And she's like talking about all these other, ooh, look at these young people now. My YouTube video has over 400 hits. And from her mouth, fuck a donkey and then talk to me, was the last thing that I remember hearing her say. And no matter what I see her in now, that phrase from her mouth shows up in my head just because it's such a drastic, departure from her comedy. Brilliant.
Oh,
absolutely brilliant.
Well, I mean, now keep in mind she did work with Mel Brooks, and he can get a little blue sometimes with his comedy. So
she was absolutely fantastic. She was in Young Frankenstein, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she's Frau Brücker.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Ah, wonderful.
The Ovaltine line, by the way, that was a ad lib by her. So she was in that. She's also in History of the World Part One. She's the I don't know how familiar you are with Tale of Two Cities, the novel Tale of Two Cities.
I never read it actually in high school.
I read it in high school. I absolutely hated it, and I learned that I do not like Charles Dickens as a writer when I read that book.
Oh.
It took him like 5-6 pages to describe a cart of wine being overturned, and was supposed to represent like the blood that was going to be spilled and the revolution that was coming. And I get the imagery and whatnot, but like 5-6 pages just for that, dude, you like yourself way too damn much. Madame Defarge is a major character in that. She's part of kind of the resistance movement. It's, I don't want to get into the whole thing other than she's knitting names into a blanket type thing. It's yeah. Anyway, in History of the World Part One, when they go to France, you know, the whole "it's good to be the king" part.
Yes.
And then the piss boy taking the king's place, yada yada.
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the damn movie. Maybe that was the inspiration for the idea of Jewish space lasers starting wildfires.
Oh my God! How is that
Jews
a thing?
In space. Anyway,
Jews in space.
But anyway, she plays
how is that
the
a
kind
thing?
Of the,
that still doesn't make any sense.
We're not going there.
Okay.
I went as far as I want to go, and that's it. Anyway, she plays the kind of the parody of the Madame Defarge character during the French Revolution.
She's
talking with an exaggerated accent and chewing scenery all over the place. And then she's also had bit parts in different things, and just an amazing comedic actress that did just some wonderful work. Always funny, was apparently always a pleasure to work with. And she was like 93 years old when she died. So when I saw the news, yeah, I was like, that's sad, but like she's 93.
Right.
So I'm not really surprised.
To be expected.
Kind of surprised she was still alive, but sad. And then not long after that, actress Cicely Tyson died. And funny enough, this just kind of shows some of the, I don't know, some of the still societal things that we're working through. I saw information about Cloris Leachman everywhere, and she is an icon in comedy for women. But, like, didn't see as many news outlets talking about Cicely Tyson's death. I found out about it because, interestingly enough, on Facebook, I follow LeVar Burton because,
oh, nice.
I mean, Reading Rainbow.
And, yeah, because he's LeVar fucking Burton.
Kind of Star Trek, but not really, because I'm not that kind of geek. But, yeah, he's LeVar Burton. He's a good guy. Of course, Cicely Tyson played his mom in Roots.
That's right.
An amazing black actress, did tons of work. Sadly, I can say I'm not familiar enough, other than her work in Roots, I'm not familiar enough with her filmography. And that's on me. I have some of the same bias, I guess, as the media did. So I'm willing and free to admit to that. And something I'm going to look into, because I remember Roots. And I remember her from Roots, and she was fantastic in that.
I think Roots actually, if I remember right, I thought Roots was required in when I was in high school.
No, I didn't watch it in high school. I don't think I went to a high school that would have had it shown.
Oh,
my parents had me watch it when it used to come on TV because they wanted me to have knowledge and understanding of history. And
oh, that's good, man.
To have, as much culture as they understood how to bring into my life at that point in time.
That's awesome.
I was definitely raised in a household that that kind of knowledge was important to have and to understand the places where history isn't necessarily told all the way sometimes, and where people did things that were wrong and not to do them again. So
that's awesome.
And then there was another person. There was one other person that had passed away that it was just yesterday, wasn't it? Oh, right. Yes. For all of the people that are of our generational group, one of the biggest TV shows that we watched was Saved by the Bell.
And yes.
One of the probably the most polarizing cast member from that show would have been Dustin Diamond.
Yes.
Now, back in the day when he was playing the part of Screech, for those of us who felt that we were more of the geek and nerd population, he was kind of our hero. We all wanted to be Zach Morris, but many of us realized we weren't. We were Screech. The problem is, sadly, that in his real life, especially after the time on Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond wasn't necessarily the best specimen of humanity. Now that's not to try to cast any kind of bad feelings upon his passing. He was found to have actually, it was less than a month ago, he was found that he had stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
And his decline was apparently quite rapid, which is it's always a sad thing to have happen. I've been in that situation with family members of my own. And it's
terrible
to have to go through that.
This morning, I heard about this morning, it was stage 4 lung cancer, and he had never smoked a day in his life. Like, he was a non-smoker.
Which is, I mean, that's the, Christopher Reeve's wife died of lung cancer, and Dana Reeves, she had never smoked a day in her life either, and was found to have lung cancer.
Whoa.
And so it's one of those things that's just... Cancer is one of those things that's so hard to understand. Medical science doesn't even fully understand why it happens the way it does. Some of them they have understanding of, some of them they can see genetic markers for, but others it's just, it's weird and random how those things happen. And again, the cast of Saved by the Bell, all the different members that that were in the show with him have come out and have all had great heartfelt messages about him. Hopefully they were able to repair some of the bridges that he seemed to burn years ago with him. And so it's regardless of the fact that he had his issues, you know, within his life, it's still one of those iconic people from an iconic show. And he wasn't that old a guy. I mean, this is a guy that was a teenager while we were preteens watching, you know, we watched him grow up on TV. We watched this show as you know, again, one of our things that was kind of a cool and fun show to watch, at least for a little while. Uh-huh. And later the nostalgic effect of it is such that they've made a new show where the cast members from the original, many of them, have come back into the show. Mark Paul Gosselaar is there. Elizabeth Berkley is there. Mario Lopez is there. They're in the show mm-hmm. as various characters. So it has that nostalgia feel. It has that lasting quality. Sadly, I don't think Dustin Diamond was invited to be a part of the new show. But again, he seemed to have mended some things with the cast members. They all had nice things to say. So another person that we've kind of lost already in this year. So it's... Yeah. Crazy times.
Yeah, it's moved kind of fast already. We're only in February. That's just crazy to think. You know?
We are. And again, that brings me also to a couple other things. There are a few other things to discuss that we were going to discuss over the 3 weeks. We had plans to discuss. One of them is what we'll be discussing after the break. It's the big movie that hit right at Christmas time. In theaters and on HBO Max at the same time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's been long enough now that I can definitely talk about it.
Yeah.
But I've been wanting to talk about it since then. I was giving it a little bit of time so people had the chance to attempt to watch it if they wanted to, if they didn't read Rotten Tomatoes. okay. And decide to actually go ahead and watch this. In fact, I saw something recently about it that I think summed it up perfectly. So after the break, we're going to talk about that. And that's, of course, the Wonder Woman 84.
Okay.
But one of the other things we were talking about right before this, our weird little 3 week hiatus happened was the whole, and even when we tried, just so y'all know, when we tried to record, two of these actually podcasts and had the technical difficulties where it didn't happen and we had to not be able to put out one, we tried to have the conversation about this. So this is I'm going to tell you, this is a somewhat rehashed conversation because we tried to have it and didn't, right?
Right, exactly.
The 3Ds conversation, the Doritos 3Ds conversation.
Finally, we're going to have that conversation.
We're finally going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because the thing that came into my brain, and I think this was on the podcast, was the idea that they made the two different flavors, the spicy ranch flavor and the chili cheese flavor, to eat at the same time so that you had the combination of these two flavors. And I was like, I need to get them again, but I wasn't sure if I'd find them. Well, weeks ago now, my wife actually found two of the big bags of these 3Ds.
Oh.
The big bag of the spicy ranch, the big bag of the chili cheese. Oh, don't pretend like you haven't heard this before, sir. Don't do all the pretend.
We didn't air it, did we?
No, but you still heard it. You still heard it, and I've already told people you've heard it, so you don't have to make
all right, fine. Noises. I'll just go. I won't keep with the bit then. Fine.
But as Mike knows, I actually finally ended up with a bowl of the two of them together, and I actually tried them one of each in a bite at a time. And I got to tell y'all, it was amazing. The flavors melded perfectly. It was transcendent. The downside is, of course, I've started this. It was very much transcendent. I will say it was that. It was a moment of food heaven. I've had many of those moments before. I have had hamburgers that have taken me to that moment. And you know how much hamburgers mean to me. Not just you, Mike, but anybody listening to this, if they've listened to enough of our stuff, they know how important hamburgers are to me. I have had hamburgers that have had that moment of transcendence. I can just sit and eat that burger and just drift away into a different realm. Almost every time I get tiramisu in front of me, I have that feeling. Tiramisu is like the best thing ever. You didn't know that, though. I don't think I've ever told you my love for tiramisu.
I don't believe you have told me, but tiramisu is awesome.
That's like one of my favorite desserts ever because it's coffee flavored.
Oh yeah.
And it's so good.
Oh
it's
yeah.
So amazing. I can that's one of those things that like I can control myself with hamburgers. Like I can eat a single hamburger and be like, okay, I'm good, I'm done. But like if there is tiramisu in front of me, as long as there is tiramisu in front of me, I must eat the tiramisu. I don't care how much of it there is, I must eat it. And I had never had it until I watched a movie where like the dude brought over tiramisu in like a Tupperware container for this girl or for this woman. And she's like, I don't eat desserts because they're both like chefs. And he's like, you will when you eat this. And then they start eating the tiramisu and they both love it. And I'm like, I've never gone anywhere fancy enough that serves tiramisu like as a dessert at the end of the meal. Like, cause I don't go to fancy restaurants. I'm poor. So I was like, I've never had that. And then I found out that you can buy them at places like Raley's and Bel Air and they're like in their bakery. And I know it's probably not good tiramisu, but I don't freaking care. I was like, I'm going to have some of that. And oh my God, it was amazing.
Oh yeah.
And now whenever I see that as a possibility, it's like, give me the tiramisu. I must have the tiramisu. Crappy movie too. By the way, if anybody knows which movie I'm talking about,
I don't know.
I'll tell you later. This is going to be one of those things. If you know,
leave it in the comments.
Leave it in the comments, and you know you'll get a shout out on the next episode for having guessed the movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not telling the actors or nothing in it.
Okay.
So the people have to figure that out. That's just the scenario. But anyway, the Doritos 3Ds. Yes, got them. Got the bowl with both of the flavors in it. And I actually still have a little bit of the two bags left over. I finally, they're getting to the point where they were almost getting to that stale point of chips. So I Ziploc bagged them and I mixed what was left of the two bags. I mixed them together because she got me these two bags. It was great to have them. But as I believe I did talk about in our last podcast, I've had some health issues where I've had to kind of change my diet and try to work on being a healthier me. And eating huge quantities of Doritos chips is not necessarily the healthiest thing for you to do. So instead of just sitting and eating both of those gigantic bags in one sitting, which I have done in the past and I would do again, I had to kind of eat them slow.
Okay.
So I've had to have like little servings at a time because I'm trying to be good and stay on my diet. I've only had one bad day on my diet. The rest of the time I've been really good about changing the way that I eat food, changing the foods that I eat to try to get myself to be healthier, lose a little bit of weight, which will also make me healthier. Mm-hmm. And so I had to stretch these chips out for a very long period of time. And so, yeah, they're now waiting in a Ziploc bag for the days that I can schedule to eat them to make sure that I'm still getting them eaten, but not eating too many bad foods for me. Keeping up on make sure I eat all my
You know
greens
what?
And
well
stuff.
Done. That just means you're not going to have to buy them as often either and still be able to have access to them.
Yeah. And it's an exertion of self-control. Again,
yeah,
it's
well done.
Tiramisu. Hell, I can even say this. A week ago, my wife actually had a craving for donuts. She went out and she bought some donuts. Okay, right. Now you've had donuts with me before. I've brought donuts over to your house before.
Yes, you have.
And I don't know if you remember 20 years ago when we worked together at Blockbuster, donuts was another thing that I would buy somewhat regularly. Although you mainly worked night shift with me, so you only dealt with me buying pizza and bringing pizza into the store.
And I had absolutely no problem with that ever. But well, yeah, I think like one or two shifts I might remember.
Yeah, you might have worked mornings with me and you might have been around with the donuts. Because back in the day, 20 years ago, I would buy a dozen donuts. And I'm not talking like the donuts that you get at like Walmart or something where they're all like a dozen just basic glazed donuts. I would go to a bakery, buy like 20 of the different donuts. You got the bars and you got the twists and you got the cinnamon rolls. And you got all, not like real cinnamon rolls, but like the ones that you get at a donut place, cinnamon rolls, that are more like a glazed donut with cinnamon inside. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I buy a whole dozen and I would proceed to eat that entire dozen of donuts. I believe I have eaten a dozen glazed, just straight, you know, normal glazed donuts. I've eaten a dozen glazed donuts in under 10 minutes. A full dozen.
That is incredibly fast.
Yes.
Actually, that's just, you decided, were you trying to set a record or?
No, I was just
eating
donuts.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just kind of a mindless eating moment.
Understood.
So, last week my wife decided she was feeling like donuts. She had to have donuts. She was having a craving. She went and got some donuts.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I did, sir. And again, you've seen me even a year ago at your house bringing donuts. How many donuts do you remember me having? Two, maybe three?
I was going to say like two or three, probably.
Maybe four, depending on how many were there.
I don't know. I feel like you left actually a good amount.
Okay.
Like you left a good amount for me and my wife to have also.
Well, I mean, if I brought a dozen, that gives us, if we each have four, that gives us, you know, four.
Yeah,
each,
yeah,
three of us.
A fair amount. Yeah.
I had, out of the dozen donuts my wife brought home, I had one donut. One donut.
Wow.
I ate the one donut, made room for it in my day to be able to eat the one donut, had the one donut, that's it. Didn't touch another donut.
Oh, man. How hard was it to choose the one donut?
Oh, it was simple, man. She got one of those, she didn't do the bakery thing. She just went and did the Walmart thing. So they're just kind of the basic donuts.
Oh, so you know.
It was too late. Yeah, it was too late for the bakery thing.
Gotcha.
Because if it had been the bakery thing, I just would have had her got me one of the big cinnamon roll thingies.
Yeah, totally.
Because those are one of my favorites. Either that or like an old fashioned, but the old fashioned smaller. So if I'm gonna you know, blow the wad on one donut, I'd get the biggest one. But it was just the circle donuts, the standard circle raised donuts, and it was the dozen pack where there's three glazed, three maple, three chocolate, and three with white frosting. It's kind of a vanilla flavor.
Oh, okay.
And I had a maple because given that choice, my favorite flavor is the maple of them.
Right, like you kind of had your default flavor to go with with that package. Well, well done, sir. Well,
I mean, I would, technically speaking, I would eat every single one of the ones in there because I'll eat a chocolate donut, I'll eat a glazed donut, I'll eat the vanilla donut. I don't have a problem with any of them. Just of those four flavors, the maple is my favorite. So I said to myself, I'm going to eat one donut. I had the maple donut. I wasn't, and when my wife was kind of staring at me, she's like, you're just going to have the one donut? And I'm like, yeah, because I'm not the one who had the donut craving. So I can have the one donut. If I had the donut craving, I would probably have eaten three or four. But I'm not the one who had the craving. You did. So enjoy your donuts because you had the craving for it. You know, earlier that week, I had been craving for about 2 weeks. I'd been craving a hamburger. And I had her get me the stuff to be able to make a kind of healthy hamburger at home. And it's a real hamburger. It's not like a garden burger or a turkey burger or like Beyond Meat, any of those. It's a real beef hamburger. I just got stuff that was the healthier version, leaner meat, a healthier, whole grain bun. That's not like a sandpaper or rock, you know, type wheat bun, but like a whole grain bun that's still got some good springiness, some good chew to it, and some good flavor to it. You don't feel like you're killing yourself trying to eat it.
Right.
And, you know, you haven't surrounded your piece of meat with a hockey puck or like a thin crackery thing,
right.
Like a soft, thin cracker. But anyway, I had had the craving for hamburgers, and she was able to get me these things that were kind of the healthier versions of how I would normally eat a hamburger for me to have hamburger. And obviously hamburger patties typically come in a package. So I had multiple days of hamburgers to enjoy. And I did. I limited myself to one burger a day over a series of days. I'd have like two and three burgers at a time, but I had already kind of fulfilled my craving. That one was hers. And that's why I told her, you know, I wasn't the one craving it. So it's not at the forefront of my mind. I need to eat donuts. I can eat one and I can step away from it. You had the craving. Enjoy your donuts because you have the craving. Have that moment of craving and then make sure that, you know, you don't let it be every day you have the same craving and you have more things than you should, you know?
Yeah.
It's a healthy way to, even when you're doing a life change of trying to have a better diet, eating healthier, you still have those moments where you have those cravings. You can't completely deny yourself those cravings. You have to sometimes give yourself those moments, but do it properly, do it in moderation, and do it to where you can get that moment of satisfaction and then be able to maybe look forward and anticipate that moment later on. but no, and know that when you really need to have it, you can. So you're not cutting yourself off from it completely. You're controlling it. You're regulating it. You're letting yourself be the one in control and not that thing control you. And this doesn't apply to food or diets. That applies to probably just about everything in life. You still sometimes have to give in to, as long as you're not hurting yourself or others, give in to some of the cravings that you have.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back from the break, we are going to talk about the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, yes.
Plus, more and more details have been coming out about the Zack Snyder Justice League movie. And we're going to talk about that.
Oh,
and
boy.
I'm going to berate Mike even further for not having HBO Max. So we'll be back okay. in just a minute.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xeniel Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thexenielchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back!
All right!
It feels good to say that because it's been such a long time. I was wondering if this would like, I don't know if my mind would even work to be able to have these conversations.
You've been so far removed from podcasting, James. I'm not sure if you remembered how to do it.
I'm deprived. First world problems. Anyway, so this is the subject I've wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I actually really haven't talked to you about it very much. Because this is when I definitely, you know, oftentimes we do have discussions about some of the things that we end up discussing on the podcast, mm-hmm. either before, you know, during the week, through messages, whatever. We'll mention certain things, discuss certain things. But I didn't want to talk to you too much about this because I wanted this to be a discussion for the podcast. I did ask you if you had seen it. And this is, of course, the Wonder Woman 84 movie. I asked you if you'd seen it. You said no.
No, I have
because
not.
Because you don't have HBO Max.
I do not.
Your finger is very far away from the pulse.
Quite.
You don't have HBO Max, so you don't get to see any of that. You don't have Disney Plus, so you don't get to see The Mandalorian. I mean, The Mandalorian.
You have a lot of, okay, here's the only reason why I haven't invested in this is half the reason why I never like invested in cable. And that is, I don't have the money for all of these, but with all these membership services and all the ones that you keep buying for people, like, I think you have Comcast, so you have cable along with your internet and everything's bundled together. And that's cool. I never had the money for anything like that. I had, like, can I get basic internet service? No, I don't need a landline. I have a cell. And that's it.
Well,
and then once you do that, now they're selling bundle packages from XYZ company that's like, okay, this one's $10 and this one's $10 and this one's $20 and this one's $15 or whatever. And now it just turns out that you're paying to in order to see all these shows that you can blast in your face through ads and stuff, you still have to pay like that $70, $80 worth a month like you would have paid if you were getting cable.
Yeah, but it's worth it. There's also the fact that you do lead a life that is busier than mine, and I'm sure you spend a lot less time sitting on your ass on a couch watching TV than what I do. And okay. I will admit to that. Which is probably why my level of sedentary lifestyle is in comparison to yours. That is one of the reasons why I am like 100 and some odd pounds heavier than you, because sitting on your ass a lot and eating a whole bunch of food has a tendency to put a bunch of weight on you. If I was probably doing I would say half of the running around and doing crap that you do, I might not be this size. I still might be. I don't know. Genetics plays a part in it too. But anyway, point being.
Understood. You make fair points. Every one of those points was fair.
Plus, I mean, there is the fact that like I literally signed up for, I bought after like 6-7 years of stressing over it every year at Christmas time. I finally bit the bullet and I bought an Xbox One last year. And I've been stressing over it since the Xbox One had come out. I'd wanted to get it.
Right.
Could never justify getting it. We had nothing in the home that would run Disney Plus, and I knew that it would be perfect for the kids. Sorry, we had tablets that would run Disney Plus, and I didn't want to sit around holding a tablet trying to watch Disney Plus.
Right.
I knew it would benefit the kids. I knew that it would benefit me because it had all the Star Wars stuff and all the Marvel stuff, which, by the way, recently I did a watch through of all of the Marvel movies, the MCU movies, mm-hmm. in timeline order.
Oh, they have that there as a playlist?
They have that as a playlist. It was fantastic. That's great. It was so much fun to watch them all. The only one that wasn't on there was, interestingly enough, the two Spider-Man movies. And that's because they are also part of Sony, so they don't get to be on Disney Plus. Fun little thing. But all the X-Men movies are on there now. All the Fantastic Four movies are on there now. It's great now. Everything's there. Anything you want from any Marvel continuity, with the exception of Spider-Man, is there. So I got it knowing I wanted Disney Plus for all of the Marvel stuff that would be there. Mm-hmm. They were already talking about Marvel series that were going to be on there. And then, of course, one of the big selling points was The Mandalorian debuting. And I got it just because I was going to watch The Mandalorian. And I'm so glad that I did. HBO Max came along, and I ended up getting that because, A, my wife wanted to rewatch Game of Thrones again. And, B, I wanted to see all the DC stuff that was going to be coming out on there.
Right.
So I got a subscription to HBO Max, which I'm glad for because, like many people, after everything was done on Christmas Day, I was able to sit down and watch Wonder Woman 84. And I was really excited to watch it because I did like the first Wonder Woman movie. I thought it was a very good movie, very good take on Wonder Woman. If I had a Celebrity Hall Pass, you know the Celebrity Hall Pass thing, yeah? Your understanding of this concept?
Not entirely. No. What do you
Celebrity Hall Pass basically is like the like one, maybe two, how whatever you and your spouse agree on or your significant agree on. They're like the one or one the only celebrities that you'd be allowed to sleep with if they would sleep with you and not get in trouble for it.
Right. Like if you had the opportunity and you took it and then you know, obviously, at that point, you just have to share with your significant other that you did because, you know, honesty. But then at that point, you're just like, oh, yeah, totally. That's cool.
Because like, if you've agreed to the whole hall pass thing, then it's like, you know, yep, I cash in my hall pass.
I get you.
Gal Gadot would be one of the people that I would want to have as my Celebrity Hall Pass because she's just absolutely adorable.
Are you each allowed one or...
I think it depends on the relationship. Technically,
okay, understood.
Technically, we don't actually have those in my relationship. I'm just saying if I had them, she would be one of the ones I would have on there. I would argue for a list of a couple. I'm not saying we haven't, the discussions have not happened. I'm just saying no Celebrity Hall Passes in that fashion technically exist.
Right, but it's also understanding, it's also knowing and understanding that your significant other has tastes, right? And preferences in other, in the...
Yes.
Yes.
My wife and I have been married for all these years, and we do still have attraction to each other and whatnot, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other people that we are attracted to.
Right, it's just, exactly.
You can be attracted to the person, but you don't do anything about it. You don't pursue anything because you are happy with the relationship that you're in and still have love and attraction for the person that you're with.
Of course.
But, anything that Gal Gadot is in, I will watch.
Is that how you pronounce her name?
She's Gadot? Amazing. It's Gadot, yeah, because she's Israeli. She's not French.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's from Israel. She was actually in the military years ago. She was in the Israeli military. Yes.
Wow.
So she does know Krav Maga.
That's dope. Yes. Holy shit.
And then after being in the military, she went into modeling for a short period of time. She tried to get into acting, and it wasn't really working, so she was going to give it up. And then she got the part of Wonder Woman.
You mean when she was trying to break in was when she was in Fast and the Furious?
Yes, Fast and the Furious was some of her early roles.
Wow.
And that's all what she got was kind of those, that
she just wasn't digging
smaller
on it.
Part in those. Yeah.
That makes sense.
She wasn't breaking big like she wanted to.
Right. I get it. Wow. And then Wonder Woman launched her off.
And it's a good movie, a good period piece, a good superhero origin movie. Just a good movie. And in many ways, kind of the bright shining light in the DC film universe, which has always been kind of plagued with trouble. I mean, even going back to the first original Superman movies, first Superman was great. Second one was like, okay, this could have been great, but there's some things wrong. Well, when you find out about all the production things that went on, you understand why there's some things wrong.
Right.
And then the third one's like, what the fuck just happened? And the fourth one's like, Jesus fucking Christ, why? they will never make comic book movies again. So Wonder Woman was kind of almost in many ways the first Superman, even though Man of Steel had been out and Batman versus Superman had been out, which, by the way, we've gone on record saying this before, but Man of Steel is a movie I love. I love watching that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting take on the Superman mythos, interesting take on General Zod and his introduction into the Earth.
Yeah.
And then the fact that, that Superman's real dad is somebody who played Robin Hood, and Superman's adopted dad is somebody who played Robin Hood. That's kind of neat to me.
Oh shit. I never thought about that. You're right. That's great.
And Kevin Costner does fantastic in that movie with the little bit of a part that he had. He is so amazing in that film.
Yeah. He is my favorite Pa Kent, period.
Oh, yeah.
End of story. He is the best Pa Kent ever. That's probably the best Ma and Pa Kent couple in any of the movies. Comic books, wherever.
Yeah, I mean, even when the Duke boy tried to do it in Smallville, he wasn't bad, but he was not, he just didn't have. You could see Kevin Costner being a Midwest farmer.
Yeah, right?
And he just embodied that feeling.
Entirely
in that
believable.
Role.
And yeah, I do like how they kind of give that they gave Kevin Costner's part like a bit of a, I think this was in subsequent films too, like they give him a more of a of an Uncle Ben type thing to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man type of a deal. But it's done so well. Like, you get where they
are. It shows that he's the moral center that he provides the moral center that Superman finds and has.
Yes.
He's that morality for him.
Yes.
And so, and this is, Russell Crowe's role is also pretty well done. As Jor-El, in that he sends his son away to find that morality, and then Kevin Costner gives it to him.
Yeah.
There's so many things about the movie I like. Michael Shannon, who is a weird actor in many of the things that he does, he plays some of the strangest parts. When I heard he was going to be Zod, I was like, "What the hell is happening here?" Okay. And then he nails it. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I think. Fairly well cast, fairly well put together. I enjoyed the movie. You get to Batman versus Superman. I only like, by the way, the extended cut of that.
Because
there's the extra things that are added in are necessary to keep the story going.
Yes, very much so.
I love the take on the older Batman, where he's become more violent and more kind of a little crazy, more desperate about things. I love the idea that he's concerned about what kind of a threat that Superman poses. And then the introduction of Wonder Woman into that movie is just amazing. She, comic book people, we all know who Diana Prince is, but then when she steps onto the field of battle against Doomsday with him, and the music cuts in with her, and she's just like, "Yeah, I'm the badass," and they like, "Is she with you? I thought she was with you."
Yeah.
And then they follow her into battle. It's like, ho dang, you have Superman, who is an alien demigod.
Yeah.
And Batman, who's just a normal dude, and he's like, "All right, I guess I'm going in with these guys." And then Diana, Wonder Woman, who is a freaking demigod.
Right.
And it's like, okay. And that I love the fact that Batman stays out of the battle as much as he possibly can with Doomsday, because he's like, screw all this noise.
Well, these he knows. Like, he's like, fuck all that. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do this, and then whole fuck, get out of here. I'm running, you know, swing across the rope, get the hell out of here. Oh, crap. Because, yeah, he's like, I'm. There's that moment even with her introduction where his bat wing is down. He's getting the I-beams are going to be coming at him. He's like covering himself like, oh, damn, I'm dead. And then she blocks it. And he's like, oh, I'm not dead. All right. Thank you. I'm good with you now. And so it had some fun in it. I the only thing I did not like about the movie, which is one of most people's biggest criticisms about the movie, was Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I did not like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I wish that they had made him say Lex Luthor 2 from the comics, which was a clone of the real Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor died from kryptonite poisoning because he wore a kryptonite ring to keep Superman at bay. He dies from the kryptonite poisoning, but he has his brain basically downloaded into a clone of himself, who, by the way, doesn't have the male pattern baldness that Lex Luthor had. He's
of course, he'd be a modified perfect clone.
He's a redhead Australian clone of Lex Luthor that is in perfect peak physical health.
Yeah.
And he's actually the Lex Luthor that is around during the original Death of Superman arc in the comic books, when Doomsday actually killed Superman, and then there were there was afterwards the cyborg Superman, Steel, Superboy, and then the red visored Superman,
who the Eradicator. Yeah.
And I not only saw the comic books for these, I actually had and still have the novelization of the comic books for these.
The novelization is one that I should get. I only got, back when it first came out, I have one shoebox full of comic books. And
do you have the Black Label Death?
No. I do not have Death of Superman. I have the introduction of the Cyborg, but I do not have Death of Superman. Cyborg is...
I've seen the black cover, Death of Superman, and I've read through one. I just don't own one.
I read through it. I remember I read through it when it was a new issue. It was a issue that was brought in by a friend of mine when I was in fifth grade, I think.
Yeah.
And nice. I remember that was devastatingly huge when it happened. It was that shit made the news, man. Yeah. Like, it made the local news when Superman died. It was crazy.
I have the novelization of that. I also have the Nightfall arc novelization for Batman.
Oh, I need that too.
When Bane is first introduced and is a totally different character than he's ever been portrayed in anything else, in that he's hyper intelligent and has a Spanish accent and it's totally different than anything he's ever been. He does not have some weird gypsy accent. He does not walk around bomb. No, he's actually a very hyper intelligent character.
I was going to say the closest to the anime, the closest to the comic book Bane that I have found that actually does what he's talking about, where he's not playing, you know, games for somebody else, is the animated one. He is the one, and I mean, aside from one.
I believe Hector Elizondo is the voice of Bane in the animated, but I could be wrong on that. Hector Elizondo, he was in a bunch I can't think of the guy's name now. Gary Marshall movies. He's always in Gary Marshall movies. Gary Marshall made like some contract agreement that every time he did a movie, he had to have a part for a Hector Elizondo in it. Elizondo didn't find out till years later. I think until Gary Marshall passed away or something. Oh. But anyway, yeah, he's in, if you've ever seen he's in Pretty Woman. He's in all the Princess Diaries movies. Basically anything that Gary Marshall directed, Hector Elizondo has some kind of a part.
Okay. Anyway. Apparently wait a minute.
What?
So the voice of Bane has been multiple people.
Okay.
And they're all awesome. Listen to this. Henry Silva was him in the new Batman Adventures from 1997, which is that's when Bane showed up. It was called the New Batman Adventures at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Batman Mystery of the Batwoman, that was Hector Elizondo. So you're
okay,
right.
So that was the one that was Hector Elizondo.
Get
it's
this,
funny,
though.
My son actually has that DVD. That's probably where I know it from.
Get this, though. In Young Justice, he's voiced by Danny Trejo.
Nice.
And in Justice League Doom 2012, which came out in 2012, that was Carlos Alazraki.
Okay.
And then Steve Bloom is the most current voice of Bane.
Okay, yeah.
But, I have to see... Bane voiced by Danny Trejo. That would be fantastic.
I want to see that too. But anyway, like I said, if this had been in back to Batman versus Superman, if that version of Lex Luthor had been Lex Luthor 2, the clone of the original Lex Luthor,
mm-hmm.
I would have been cool with that, with Eisenberg's performance. It wasn't, though, and it's kind of the weak point in the whole thing.
I can understand, like, there was something I liked about him initially because he is such a departure that he seems fun. I'm curious if that gets brought home in the new Justice League movie somehow, because
that is part of the question that will be coming up later with this.
Okay.
Because that's going to be the continuation of the conversation here. But again, I like that movie. I like the Batman versus Superman movie. Again, then you had Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Suicide Squad movie. Okay, whatever. But I'm not even going to go into the.
Well, there's some setup, but it was absolutely botched.
I've said it before. I liked Ben Affleck's version of the old angry Batman. I like it. Now, you get into the Justice League movie. That was basically Jossified, and we've talked about the fact that this is should have been a dark story, and it was turned light. Light works in Marvel; it does not work with the way that DC was headed. Zack Snyder was on a dark path, with these movies, and I think it was a good thing because it set itself aside from what Marvel was doing. Even Wonder Woman, while it had its light and happy moments, it was still very dark. So then you get Wonder Woman 84 and all the hype around it, how great it's going to be. You're watching some of the trailers, and it's like, this is kind of neat. We're getting Cheetah. Okay, that's a character that is, you know, that's an old school character from Wonder Woman. Let's bring that in. That's kind of nice to have. You're getting, what's his name? Max Lord. You're getting Max Lord, which is like, I've seen Max Lord in a couple other things used. That's a great character to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Supergirl TV series, played by Peter Facinelli in the Supergirl TV series, which is, you know, not a bad person to play Max Lord. Right. And holy crap, who do they have playing Max Lord? They have the freaking Mandalorian playing Max Lord.
Whoa. Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Which, like... I've seen him only do a couple things. Interestingly enough, he is in Game of Thrones. He has a part where he gets quite brutalized in Game of Thrones. I feel really bad for him. So you're not familiar with it, but basically he gets his head crushed by a guy that's called the Mountain. His name is the Mountain.
I've seen this character. I've seen the character of the Mountain, but that's crazy.
Yeah, like they're basically in a trial by combat.
Right.
And Pedro Pascal, who plays the role and is who's the Mandalorian, Max Lord, other things. He's playing the role of Oberon, and he's the champion for Tyrion Lannister, played by I can't even think of his name now.
Peter Dinklage?
Yes, Dinklage.
Yeah.
He's Dinklage's champion. The Mountain is Cersei Lannister's champion. And the Mountain at this point has also been turned into some kind of weird zombified creature. You'd have to have seen the whole thing to understand.
Okay.
Anyway, Oberon's winning. He's beating him, but then he, instead of getting the final blow in, he's continues taunting the mountain because the mountain had years ago killed his sister and crushed his nephew. Well, he crushed his nephew into oblivion because his nephew is just a baby. Just basically destroyed the baby's body.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then proceeded to rape his sister multiple times and then kill her.
Oh, God.
It's just Game of Thrones is a freaking dark show. It was hard for me to watch it with how dark it is. It's a screwed up thing. There's almost no redeemable human being in the entire show. There's like one redeemable person. One. Everybody else is just made. No, two. There are two redeemable people in the entire freaking okay. show. Two decent people. No? Yeah, two. Because even Brienne does some questionable shit.
Okay.
Like Samwell Tarly and Jon Snow are like the only redeemable decent people. Everybody else needs to freaking die. They are all god awful, terrible, horrible people. Backstabbing, lying, raping, murdering, fucking terrible people. Okay. I watching it, I'm just like, I can't root for any of you because you're all awful. I would be glad to see any of you people die. Except for Jon Snow, who actually does die once in the series.
Yes.
And then, I mean, only once. He comes back, though. And then Samwell, who doesn't die, who's actually a really nice character throughout the entire thing. He's always like, this is all terrible around me. Why is it all so terrible? Because he's an actual decent human being.
Right.
He's looking at everything like, we are all all of you people are fucked. We're
so, all awful okay, so people. There is the one God straight man it. Character in the entire series that's just like, what the fuck the whole time?
Samwell is basically that person the whole time.
I didn't know like, they actually had a character like that.
He's sent up to the wall, basically the place where they send prisoners and like people that they don't want to have to defend the wall against like the whites and shit. I'm getting too much into describing, but anyway, he's sent there because he's the oldest son, but he's not manly enough for his dad, so his dad is basically disowning him and sending him to the wall. Okay. And so he's supposed to be up there to like protect the wall against like wildlings and whites and all these things, and he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't know how to fight, doesn't care about fighting, but has to be there. And he's like, why do I have to be here? I don't want to do any of this. Goes on a bunch of adventures, saves a bunch of people, helps like Jon's brother, Jon Snow's brother, kind of sort of brother, but not really. It's more like his cousin, but that's a whole story plot thing. Helps him find his calling to be like this seer who can like see over time and distance and read people's minds and jump into people's minds and shit. He helps his brother accomplish that. And then like comes back to find that his family's all been killed because they took one side in the war instead of the other side in the war, and he has to be in charge of his family holdings now because he's like a lord and shit and still has to deal with it. And at the same time, he took in this girl who was a part of this guy's family that lived near the outskirts of the realm, whatever. This man had multiple wives, and anytime he had a male child, he would sacrifice it out into the woods. Anytime he had a female child, he would raise that female child to be another one of his wives. And this was one of his kids who was his wife, who was pregnant when he finally got killed. And Sam takes her in and helps raise her kid as his own. It's like he's the only decent fucking person around. Everybody else is just garbage. It's a terrible show. I hate it. I can also say I have also read
what
the fucking
the actual
books.
Fuck, man. Like. And people were all over this for like 8 years.
Oh, they loved it.
And then the whole thing fucking fell apart because what do you expect for everything to happen?
Well, and I can say again, I have read the actual fucking books and they are just as bad. Nobody
is decent
in the books.
Why do people like this fucking guy? Why do people like this series?
Because it's a realistic fantasy series.
That's a fucking realistic. What? Bullshit. I haven't heard of any place
if you were to go back and look through the true history of like the War of the Roses, which this is partially based off of, Like in British history and European
history.
No,
you might be onto something. I'm actually
life back then was literally just as bad as this.
Life back like, then was be, was
their just... their babies were their, the woman's babies. Like if there was a conquering army conquering the other family, they would take their babies and cast them onto the ground and break their skulls open, rape the women, and then kill them. This was what would regularly happen.
So just like fucked up war eugenics, basically. That's been history for an extremely long period of time. White people are fucked up, man. Why do we do shit like this?
That's a whole different topic. But anyway, back to the original point. I was talking Pedro Pascal,
and now Wonder Woman, right? Wait, where are we going with this?
Pedro Pascal, who was in Game of Thrones, he's had a charmed career because he was in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Then he's the Mandalorian.
Right. And He's in
Wonder Woman 84. He was also in the second Kingsman movie, which is another one of those movies. Both Kingsman movies you need to watch. For the first movie, you need to watch the Freebird scene in the church.
Yes. And you've shown me the Freebird scene in the church.
You need to watch the Word Up scene.
Like Cameo? You know,
Cameo did it, and then Korn did a pretty decent cover of it.
Korn did a wonderful version of it. I mean,
this is actually a country version of the song.
Oh, fuck off. There's no cut. No, no,
no
country
no,
version
actually,
of Word
no,
Up.
No, no, it's actually really good.
Who does
and
it?
It
works
Pacey
because, Dixie?
I don't know who does it, but it's actually really, really good. And it's Pedro Pascal fighting against the two of the main characters from the first Kingsman. And they're fighting in an old 50s style, what looks like an old 50s style diner. And the fight culminates with Pedro Pascal being shoved into a meat grinder.
Okay, so this guy's just like Sean Bean, apparently. Like, he just dies at everything?
Well, he hasn't died in The Mandalorian. It's not so much that. It's like he's just gotten really good roles. And so he gets to be in Wonder Woman 84 as Max Lord, which is a major comic book figure. And he's just a billionaire industrialist that causes a lot of crap, gets superpowers at different points in time, causes more crap, basically almost like a Lex Luthor type.
Okay.
And
fair.
The premise of this movie is Max Lord is basically a failed businessman during this time period.
Okay.
Wonder Woman's just been hanging around throughout, you know, Europe and the United States. At this point, she's in the United States working at a museum. Ha ha, very funny. She's cleaning things and it's like, you know, duh, she knows what these things are because she might have been there.
Right.
Kristen Wiig is introduced as kind of a goofy, clumsy character, and we know this because she walks in and trips in her high heels and spills papers all over the floor.
Of course.
Trope after trope.
I was gonna say they gave her the Catwoman part. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the whole premise of this is Max Lord is looking for a stone that grants wishes. Because he wants to be able to wish himself to have a better career, but when it grants you a wish, it takes something from you at the same time.
Okay.
Because it was invented by some trickster god.
Of course it was.
Diana wishes for Chris Pine's character to be back from the first movie.
Okay.
And he comes back.
So what does Kristen she lose?
Kristen Wiig's character, I'll get to that. Kristen Wiig's character wishes to be cool like Diana, and she becomes that way, but she loses her personality of being a decent human being and just becomes a bitch. Max
Lord
decides...
Who the fuck is watching this rock?
Max Lord decides, well, it originally shows up at the museum. Max Lord has been looking for it. Actually, let me rephrase. It originally was in a jewelry store inside of a mall that Max Lord paid some guys to go rob, but Diana foils the robbery and does a bunch of hijinks in the jewelry or in the mall.
Hold on one second. Wait, one second. Let me get this straight. So the jewel is in a jewelry store.
It's hidden in the back. The jewelry store is a front for people selling artifacts.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay, so it was just sitting there on the shelf. Why didn't you just buy the fucking jewel rather than pay a bunch of dudes to hold the place?
No,
up?
It's hidden in the back. The thieves are there doing it. Diana breaks it up. The the jewel stone thing eventually gets to her museum. Her and Kristen Wiig are working with it. They both touch it and make wishes, not realizing that they're making wishes. Max Lord tricks Kristen Wiig to get in there, flirting with her and whatnot. He's a TV personality, big celebrity,
supposed to be a great businessman. Yeah.
He gets it. And basically, he wishes to become the stone itself so that he could basically have infinite wishes. He pulls an infinite wishes.
Are you fucking serious?
No, although Gary Oldman is a handsome gentleman. But yes, I am serious. That is what happens. He becomes the wishing stone. And the only way to stop the wishing stone from taking from you something when you get the wish granted is by renouncing your wish.
You can't have something taken away unless you cancel it.
Give up the thing. You either have to give up the thing that you've been given, or you have to renounce ever having done your wish. And the only way for it to completely disappear is every person that's wished on it has to all renounce their wish together at basically the same time.
Can't reverse it unless everybody reverses it?
Not completely. No, not you can't completely reverse the effects. Everybody has to reverse their effects. Reverse the effects. So, Max Lord, it's basically eating away at him to be the wishing stone. So he has to keep granting wishes to other people and taking things from them, which is a major plot point. He takes somebody's land. He takes somebody's money. He takes the...
for wishes.
He takes the entire United States away and their military, all of their military stuff and their nuclear weapons. I mean, he takes everything he possibly can throughout the course of this movie.
This is basically some Lucifer level shit. Okay.
Oh, yes. And the reason he wants to do all this is to make sure that he's making money and his son is able to be proud of him. Because he came from nothing, built himself up so that his son would one day be proud because he wasn't proud of his family and his upbringing because they were poor. And he's distanced from his son and there's conflict there. Okay. Of course, eventually his son will come under peril, and that will be the thing that obviously makes him change his tune.
Right, of course.
This is just trope after trope after trope. But here's where it gets into the bad trope, sir.
Okay.
So Chris Pine's character comes back, right?
Right.
What happens is his soul has come back, and it's embodying another person. He is inhabiting another person. He's basically possessing this other human being.
Okay, so when he comes back, he's taking away somebody else, like an entire being, right?
He's inside of this other human being.
So he comes back by possessing another person?
And the first time Diana sees him, yes. First time Diana sees him, she sees the other person until he says a line from the previous movie.
Okay.
And she recognizes that it's him, and then suddenly she only sees him as the Chris Pine character, because that's how, you know, you get Chris Pine to play the part again.
Right.
Everybody else sees him as this other person because he's still the other physical body.
Whoa.
And they have sex.
They have what?
They have sex.
Okay.
Do you see the implications here? She has sex with another human's body while he is possessing that body.
Damn, this is ghost weird.
Does that body have the ability to give consent? Especially in our modern world.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, hold on. One second here. So that's the social concern.
This is the social issue that gets brought up with it. It's been done before in other movies. Where is there real consent in this?
Okay, so
in this situation?
To be completely honest, I've heard about this, but not the way that you described it. So I heard about this being a thing. I'm not sure if people were being I don't want to necessarily say overreactionary, because I know a lot of people that are not happy with it. But
what's your response to this idea? He is possessing another body, and she has sex with him in that body.
Well, if he's possessing another body, then that character, whoever.
Okay, but
she is inhabiting is another tertiary character. That person's life is being affected by what's happening.
Exactly. Now, if I were to tell you that at some point later, after a bunch of different things happen and Diana realizes what she's actually losing from having him there, she renounces her wish. And at the end of the movie, she sees the person that he was in. She's right. Walking on the street.
Right.
He kind of notices her, says something to her, but doesn't recognize her for anything. She knows who he is, of course. And she just kind of smiles and he walks along. I mean, is there some predatory thing in there? Is that something about consent? This guy was being piloted by another spirit, but after that spirit is gone, after the essence of Chris Pine's character is gone, he's still there and he's had sex with somebody that he didn't consent to have sex with.
Well, let's take it back here a minute because I want to double check. So the idea here that I see what you're talking about makes sense. That makes sense. That is off-putting to me to a degree. I also just want to point out that the guy was not conscious.
Okay, so you're
like
saying
he was not, like technically what happened was his conscious like the entire time that he, I want to know what the fuck happened to this guy.
Okay,
while
so
his
the
body
other thing,
is being taken over by somebody else's spirit, obviously, like
that's
of
a good
course
question.
There's the sexual consent issue, but what other bullshit's going on with this guy? He's not just some jack off. He's a person that exists within this universe. And just yes. because he happens to be a tertiary character doesn't mean that you don't take him seriously as another person that technically exists. Isn't half this bullshit that they've got going on in a lot of these superhero movies? Like Superman, yeah, he's fucking wrecking buildings and he's going nuts. But half the reason why Batman has a problem with him is because he's wrecking fucking buildings and causing severe damage and danger to people.
And I want to say you're almost straying into difficult territory when you're saying that. Okay, well, he wasn't conscious for any of this, so it's okay.
Let me explain that
relations
part.
With somebody when they're not conscious. I get that's why you are almost running into that territory, and I was gonna stop you from getting there, but you did a good job of stopping yourself. And that's where this comes into is this is a sense of he was not conscious in his own body and somebody else used his body for sexual pleasure without his consent, without his consciousness,
right,
without his knowledge.
So that's like,
and so
that's like not we, that's like not cool.
it's supposed to be okay because in Wonder Woman's eyes, it's Chris Pine's character. It's that character. So that's all that she sees. She doesn't see this other person, but basically she kind of used his body to be able to get on with her dead boyfriend.
It wasn't just
her.
That's
some fucked up shit.
It wasn't just her that used his body. It was also
Chris
Pine's
dead boyfriend
character.
Too.
Yeah.
It was a dead
We're
boyfriend
talking
too.
These were two people that used somebody else on purpose for the purpose of he inhabited somebody else's body and didn't just use that body for sex with Wonder Woman. He used that body and that person's life. What I've also heard is they're like ridiculing the way the guy lives and all this kind of stuff too.
The way he lives, the way he dresses, the way he looks. And the thing is,
isn't this supposed to be about independence and acceptance? Isn't that like the whole fucking lesson with the whole Wonder Woman franchise? So doesn't this entirely violate that?
Well,
or at least to some degree, does it do that?
Yeah, and that's, I think, where some of the big controversy came about it. And believe me, it was cringy
this is
kind
some,
of watching.
Like, yeah,
there was never
is,
a moral... There's yeah, never a dude. Discussion morally of like, hey, okay, you know, I know it's us being, you know, in this moment, I'm back here in this moment, but like, this is this other dude's body. Should we be doing this with this other dude's body?
I could see some shit like this being something that's looked over in a plot point maybe 20 years ago, but not now.
Well, there were connections to like some of the things that happened in the movie Big. There have been other movies where
body
swapping, where these type of things have happened, whether consent is appropriate in this, whether in Big, the fact that he's the age that he is mentally in the body that he's in, is that true capability of consent, or is that predatory by the woman having sex with him?
Technically
and that's
speaking,
the,
that's
the comparisons that have been made with this. And it's
well, what
like,
happens
is,
to every teacher that sleeps with a student that's underage? They go to fucking prison.
Again, this is the point that became cringy, but it gets just so much worse in the way that the storytelling happens.
Like hell, we could take
because
this,
what you find
if,
out,
if I may, like if we could take this back to like I said, 20 years ago, American Pie comes out, right? And one of the biggest, most controversial scenes that people talk about nowadays is the fact that there's a webcam scene.
Yep, the filming without consent.
Yeah, filming without consent. Even though she's consenting to all of the other stuff, she's not consenting to be filmed. And what happens to her character? Her character gets expelled from the school and kicked back home to pay whatever consequences they are. What happens to the most of him? He gets ridiculed for premature ejaculation. And that was it. Not for any of the other shit. Not for the fact that he was filming somebody and spreading it out to a bunch of people. Like,
which by the way would qualify under laws for child pornography.
Oh my God, you're right. Right? So this is if you take you can't take the context of this and make it some fantasy superhero story without touching on that. That's going to be a big deal.
And so there's that issue of it. But like I say, the story keeps getting worse. Because they follow him around. They have to try to follow him because he's gone to Egypt. Because he's trying to get all these different things Max Lord has. Max Lord has gone to Egypt. He's trying to make all these wish deals so that he can accumulate all this power. And so they try to figure out, like, how are we going to get to Egypt? And like, oh, we'll have to get a plane. You got planes that can fly that far? Oh yeah, sure. So they go to the Smithsonian. They get into the Smithsonian because she works within the museum stuff in the Smithsonian.
Okay.
So she's got a pass to get in.
Of course, of course.
He sees all of these, you know, because he was a pilot in the first movie. He sees all these wonderful new aviation inventions, space shuttle, all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
She takes him out to a fighter jet. Okay?
Okay.
That funny enough, can seat two people. And a sitting next jet? To each other. Not one behind the other, like in an F-14 Tomcat where you have a Rio. But like sitting next to each other.
A side-by-side double cockpit.
Oh, yes. He hops into a fighter jet. A guy that flew prop planes in World War I. He hops into a fighter jet that's sitting there at the Smithsonian. Apparently, it's fueled enough to fly all the way to Egypt. And he knows how to fly it.
Oh, because maybe this was just a hidden skill of the body he inhabited. Like,
no, because guy was like the guy was not involved in that kind of stuff. He is able to fly a 1980s modern aircraft, having only flown a prop plane in the past. He's able to fly this. They take off, and suddenly, we're gonna have to get in the clouds or something. Not yet.
Oh,
not yet. Oh no. That comes with this. There's alarms going off when they take off because it's noticed. He's like, oh, we're gonna have to get in the clouds, get some cloud cover. And she's like, oh no, you don't know about radar. Crap, we're gonna have to find a way to not be able to be seen. He's like, what? They what do you mean? See, they can see you now, even if you're in cloud cover. What? I've tried to do this, and she's like, I've tried to do this before with smaller stuff, but maybe I can do something about this. What can you do?
Oh God.
Well, if I touch something, I can make it become invisible.
So that's where the invisible jet shows up.
Makes it invisible. It's like the first thing she's ever really concentrated to try to do, suddenly it works. And it's an invisible jet. And they're flying, and it's around the 4th of July, so there's fireworks going off. So they decide to fly right through the fireworks. Because it would be pretty. Even though that has nothing to do with the trajectory they're going on with their fully fueled plane that was just sitting there.
They have a fucking Aladdin Whole New World scene through the fireworks in an invisible jet.
It is
jet.
A fucking whole New World scene through the fireworks in an invisible jet.
And this then does flying, not sound good to me. I don't want to see this
as
anymore.
As they're flying, she's asking him about how he knows how to fly, what his thing is for flying. And it's about being able to give yourself to the wind currents. And like, I forget it because it was such a stupid fucking speech. But like, that sticks in her damn head. So they get there to Egypt. They follow him out of Egypt. There's a big road battle where she finds out what she finally finds out what she's given up for having him, which is funny because she just used a new freaking power to make a jet fucking invisible. But she finds out that what she's losing is her power. She's not invulnerable anymore. She's not as strong.
Shit.
Her powers are slowly seeping away. They get with somebody who's able to tell them what's going on with all of this.
Right.
Some kind of Native American medicine man who's able to tell him what's going on with all of this.
The fuck? Okay.
Because apparently, yeah, I'm telling you, this gets weird. Kristen Wiig's character shows up and hears about that, finds out that everybody has to renounce their wishes. She doesn't want to because what she specifically wished for was to be as cool as, or was to be like Diana, because Diana, she's always being cool. Well, what has happened is she's become super strong, super fast. She beat up some guy that was trying to pick up on her in the park, on her walk home, actually right. Jog home because she was running. So she doesn't want to lose her super strength or super speed and her super coolness, because now she's, you know, wearing her hair down and not wearing the glasses and wearing edgy clothing. Right. That automatically is what makes you cool.
Right.
Again, every trope possible. She doesn't want to give any of that stuff up. So she ends up going to try to hook up with Max Lord. Is at this point, he's trying to take over the United States because he's trying to accumulate power because he just wants more and more power.
Right.
He finds out that the U.S. has some kind of weird broadcasting station that can broadcast to every single television on the planet, can take over any broadcast on the planet. And his thought is, if I use that, I can reach out to the whole world and have them all wish at once and then collect all these things from them, which now he's looking to collect their health and their life because he's slowly dying.
Right.
Actually, he's fastly dying now. So he takes that over. Wonder Woman and Chris Pine show up at the White House. Big battle ensues. Kristen Wiig shows up. She beats the crap out of Wonder Woman and goes and escapes with Max Lord to this island thing. Mass chaos is ensuing everywhere. Once he gets the island thing, because he starts his broadcast, right. Everybody starts wishing. People start falling down dead. All kinds of freaky things start happening. Kind of like the moment in Bruce Almighty where everybody wins the lottery at once, kind of that type of thing.
Yeah.
Everything's just going crazy and nuts because they're all having these different wishes for things, and it's all in chaos. And it's at that point that they realize that, she has to renounce her wish. And he's like, you know, I've had these moments with you, but it's okay. Renounce your wish. Go and do what you need to do. Go save the world. So she renounces the wish. He basically disappears. She suddenly gets her powers back as she's running down the street. And she flicks the lasso out, which sometimes only flicks out 10 feet, sometimes flicks out 350 feet, sometimes flicks out from the ground all the way up to a fucking airplane in the sky, because apparently it does not obey the laws of physics.
No, the lasso never did. Yeah, no.
And she starts riding clouds, and with the lasso, clouds and lightning bolts and shit, and then suddenly gives herself up to try to fly, and his words are recalled to her about how to fly, and suddenly she can fly.
Gives herself to the wind or whatever?
Basically, yeah, and she's fucking flying. So she flies to this island, big protracted battle with Kristen Wiig's character, who has made wishes to become made wishes to become an apex predator, and that's how she becomes Cheetah.
Cat lady, okay.
And they have a big old fight, and finally they end up in the water, and she gets electrocuted to death. And then, she goes in, and instead of a big battle with Max Lord or anything like that, she ends up getting the lasso around him. She's beaten. There's like a wind surrounding him from all the power coming into him from the wishes. She gets pushed up against the wall, but somehow she gets the lasso around him, gets him to tell some kind of truth. She tells some kind of truth about everybody having to renounce their wishes because it's all crazy, and the only way everything is going to go back to good is by renouncing their wishes and accepting the life the way it is and all of this stuff. And it's being broadcast through this broadcast thing, and every fucking person renounces their wish. Everybody.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And the place explodes, but Maxwell Lord escapes. She escapes. And Maxwell Lord is doing it because he finds out that his child is missing, his kid's missing, and is in danger. So he renounces his wish too. He somehow finds himself on a helicopter being flown to back to the United States. He happens to land within like 300 yards of his kid, starts screaming for his kid, and his kid comes out of the bushes and finds him. No fucking joke. And then it flashes forward to some indeterminate amount of time in the future. not very long, just like a couple of months or whatever.
Right.
And everything is back to normal, and that's when she sees the dude on the street. That's the movie.
How the fuck did this shit... Okay, film. Seriously? How is there not a file on her that's bigger than the mystery shit in the Batman v Superman movie? Like, yeah, that's all they
how?
Had?
How?
How the that's fuck is had? Something yeah, that how? Humongous, like worldwide crazy nutso batshit, apocalyptic insane shit?
How is that not talked about? How is it yeah, not how does that... At some
like,
point?
It's only like what, 30, 40 years removed from the current time period?
Yeah. It's like it's completely forgotten.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What is that?
God awful movie. God awful movie. And I watched it and we finished
it. Zach, you better fucking fix this shit somehow. Wow.
I looked over at my wife and I'm like, that was one of the worst things we've ever seen. She goes, yeah, it was completely awful. I said, we never have to watch this movie again, right? She goes, yeah, I don't ever want to watch this movie again.
Wow.
This is somebody who actually will watch episodes 1, 2, and 3 with me. Not 3 all the time, but at least 1 and 2 she will watch with me.
Yeah.
Occasionally 3. She will watch those when I do a Star Wars watch through, and she's like, nope, never watching this movie again. And I am in agreement with her. One of the worst superhero movies I have ever seen. This is... what I read earlier was that somebody compared this to Superman 3. I compare this to Superman 4. This Ooh. Is just a god-awful... The Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie was probably better than this. That's how I will put it.
Good Lord.
This was just terrible. But anyway, we don't have any time really to talk about the Justice League thing because it's late and we've already done all the talking we need to.
We'll talk about the
new Justice yeah. League yet. Because it's not out yet, and there's still new developing things coming out, including Jared Leto is back.
I have heard about this, and I am quite sure I know what's coming. And I think I talked to you about this like on a podcast, like way near the beginning. Yeah. I am so ready for that scene.
I'm just ready for Jared Leto to be back so that we can forget the attempt at taking a movie about being a angry white man in society and covering it in a comic book skin.
Oh yeah.
Dominated too much of, I'm sorry, but that is, I am sticking by my guns. I think time has proven that was the Joker movie was not a Joker movie. That was a different movie covered in a comic book skin.
I still liked it, but
I won't get that argument tonight because I know our views aren't exactly the same on that one. I mean, discussion for another time. Anyway, I want to say if you sat through all of this, thank you for listening. It's so glad to be back.
Yes.
And if people are sitting through listening to this, Mike, where are they listening to this?
Well, you can find us at thezennialchronicles.com, which is where you're most likely listening to us right now, or any of the other podcast areas. But we can also be found at zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We are also,
by the way, I just want to add, people, please do use the ZennioChronicles.com, ZenCron.com. Please use that. I have to pay money every year so that we have that. So freaking use the damn thing.
So,
sorry, go on.
Yeah.
I just paid for it like 2 days ago.
Oh,
so it's just fresh in my brain. Yeah.
Well,
our tech guy, Rob sent me a message like, hey, you got to pay for the website. And I'm like, okay. Sure, no problem. So it's just fresh in my brain. Use the website. But if you don't want to, there are other places. Sorry.
Well, it's sourced. Our podcast is sourced to a lot of other outputs. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. We're on, I don't know if we're on Pandora. Maybe we're on Pandora. Search for us on Pandora.
I don't think we're cool enough for Pandora.
We're not cool enough for Pandora. I know we're on Apple. I know we're on Google. So you can find us all there. But we are also on YouTube as well. We have a YouTube page. And please, if you're listening to this podcast in any capacity, go subscribe to our YouTube page. Go find it. It's on YouTube. I would say that we don't have... You know what? We want a custom URL. We don't have one. And we need 100 subs. And we know that... Well, we can only hope... That we have enough people to help us get to that point. So that would be fantastic if you could go to YouTube, search for the Xennial Chronicles, find our page, and please subscribe to our YouTube page so that we can get that little custom URL, man. That's our next major step that we're looking for. But there's also one other thing to do on that page. James, what would that be?
Click the bell.
Yes, click the bell if you're watching any of these videos. On the YouTube page as well, because these come out as videos. And we've got other videos, too. When we can't come out with a podcast, we throw a video out there. We let you guys know what's going on. That's the best place to find us. So,
one of these days, we might actually do one podcast where you actually get to watch us do the podcast, do an actual video podcast.
That would be absolutely.
Might just be a one-time thing. Might be more than a one-time thing, but one day it might happen.
Yeah.
And you don't want to miss it when it does.
Exactly. And that way you can go.
When it does happen, it'll be on YouTube.
It will be on YouTube. It won't be a one. It may be a one-time thing, but that one time you can watch over and over again. Because that and all of our other videos, all of our other podcasts, our entire archive is available on our YouTube page from the top, from the very first one on. So please help us out. Go subscribe to our YouTube page. That would be fantastic. And yeah, I think that was it on my end.
Oh yeah. So while you're there on the YouTube thing, Mike has like a couple other channels. I mean, you can check them out if you want. you don't really have to. I'm supposed to say this because like it makes Mike feel good and shit. No. Seriously. That was good though. That was good.
I like that.
Yeah, Mike does have two other channels that he has working on YouTube right now that are active. He's got his Chronozode Games, which he does with his wife.
Yeah.
This is, I guess the original premise was playing video games in their chronological order. I think now it's just playing video games and watching Mike fail horribly and epically at the video games.
No. It's still timeline order. We're still doing timeline order.
But am I wrong though? But am I wrong?
Oh no, you're watching me fail at video games in their timeline order. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other page he has is Ruling Note Music, where he talks about basically all things music. You can get some gear advice in that, recording advice, history of music stuff,
yeah,
and just explanations of kind of the geeky things in his music loving nature.
Yep, me being
so
a music.
Please check those out. Yeah, please check those out. Please like and subscribe to those too, because any kind of attention we can get, we are attention whores, and we would love to have it. Otherwise,
well done.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening, and hopefully, we can keep this train rolling, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.